back. 1244, 1260 WRC. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And I'm joined by the one and only Stephen Dynan, Washington Times political editor. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Andy.
High rate of approval for Dreamers vexes critics of immigration reform. Step right up and get approved. Is that what I hear?
Yeah, pretty close. 97% of everybody who has applied so far for, or all the applications that have been decided, I should say, have been approved. You know, 3% rejection rate, amazingly small. And the folks I talk with, the head of the union for the guys who actually do these adjudicators and officers who actually approve these applications said, look, that number speaks for itself. You want to know whether it's a good program that's actually weeding people out or not. 97% tells you what you need to know. No, we're not exactly weeding out a lot of people.
So they're letting them in as quickly as possible. Do we have any actual numbers?
We do. More than 500,000 as of the end of 2013. And that's, so the program started August 15th of 2012. This is the president announced it in the middle of his reelection bid. It was obviously seen as a very political move to try and restore Hispanic support for him going into the election. And a year and, not exactly a year and a half, maybe a year and 4 months later, we've 500,000 were approved. This is called Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. It's the so-called program for the Dreamers, as they call themselves. This gets them a 2-year pass that they can stay in the U.S. without fear of deportation, and they're given work permits. And most states, I think just about every state, actually says, okay, if you're here under that condition, you can get a driver's license. Some states allow you to get in-state tuition at that point for colleges or whatnot. So it does bring with it a lot of benefits, but it's not citizenship, and it's not permanent legal status. So these folks would like to have full legalization. What we did is we basically took a lot of folks on both sides of the issue view this program, deferred action, as a test run for if we do have a broad legalization. That's why these numbers are so interesting. 97% suggests that we really aren't doing a lot of serious vetting of these people. That we don't do in-person interviews for them. The number of documents they're allowed to submit is pretty broad, which raises possibilities of document fraud. So, all around, there are lessons to be learned if we move from this to a full legalization and pathway to citizenship for the broader 11 million illegal immigrants.
All right, but of course the immigration advocates are thrilled. They've got to be saying, wow, this is a lot easier than we thought.
Yeah, not so much. They actually have, this is one of those areas where the Obama administration, it cannot win. There are folks who say 97% is outrageous. How can you be approving that many people? There's no way that that's correct. On the other side, they're not necessarily furious with it. In fact, they're happy to have the program, but there were some hiccups that they identified early on in terms of getting people processed that they weren't happy about. And they say that a big problem is that the government hasn't actually made this program known, that there are illegal immigrant children in some rural pockets of the country probably who have never heard of this, who would be eligible for it. So, as always with immigration, the administration, any administration, no matter who it is, Democrat or Republican, they get trapped in the middle of those who want to see a crackdown and say, this is insane, why are we doing this? And those who want to see a broad legalization and see almost all the 11 million here who say, we're not moving far enough, we're not moving fast enough. So, I sort of take a look at the program. There are absolutely some holes and some problems that have been identified that we would need to worry about with a broader legalization. Number one is the flood of these applicants. The New York Times actually first reported on this, and we confirmed it. The flood of these applicants actually pushed other people out of the system or delayed them in the system. In particular, those legal immigrants and U.S. citizens who want to petition to bring a relative, either a spouse or a close relative to the U.S., their applications, they normally take about 5 months to get done. It went up to more than 15 months for some people because the administration put all of its effort on this legalization for illegal immigrants, for the Dreamers, and all those other applications got put at the back of the line. We keep hearing about the president saying illegal immigrants will go to the back of the line for all of this stuff if we do pass, say, the Senate immigration bill, and that's true to some extent. I actually disagree with that, both of the specifics, but it's also true, it's becoming clear that if we do allow 11 million people to jump into the system immediately, basically the rest of the immigration system will be put on hold while the government handles this influx of applications. So other people will, by definition, be put behind where they would normally be in terms of processing times if the agency has to handle this flood of applications. So that's number one problem. And number two, of course, is just the question about, okay, if you're not doing an in-person interview with everybody, how do you know that you're actually catching people? How do you know if you don't have a good feel for the person? And this is what the adjudicators say, is that in-person interview, they're trained in order to be able to spot tells. They're trained in order to get a sense for how truthful the person is when they're sitting there in person. If you don't have an in-person interview, you're probably missing people that you would want to weed out.
Yeah. Any indication there are problems with some of those who have been approved?
You know, like a lot of things with immigration, it's impossible to get hard and fast data. I've come across one instance where a woman out west was actually, she was put in deportation proceedings earlier this year after she was convicted of felony hit and run. It's an awful case. She was driving, drove through a leaf pile on, and I'm actually not sure whether it was on the road or on the side of the road or off the road, but she drove through a leaf pile and struck two young girls who were hiding and playing in the leaf pile, and killed both of them. You know, one died at the scene and the other died at a hospital. She thought she'd hit something, but drove on, and later on, you know, came back and found out that yes, in fact, she had hit somebody. When she found out, she didn't immediately go report herself to the police, and so she wasn't charged with murder or vehicular manslaughter, but she was convicted of felony hit and run because she left the scene, and that actually has earned her at least an entry into deportation proceedings. It'll be up to a judge to actually decide whether or not to deport her for that, but she was here under this program, the DACA program, and so that's at least one case. But overall, they don't keep track of these numbers, or at least if they do keep track, they aren't releasing them to us. I asked for them. They said, no, we just don't look at it like that. We take every case individually, which also means that there's no sort of automatic, okay, if you violate your status, you're out of here. It means that they look at every single case individually, which, you know, may be good, may be bad, but that's their policy.
Mm-hmm. All right, and now the guy who was in charge of the DACA program has been kicked upstairs, right?
Yep, Alejandro Mayorkas was the director of USCIS, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, which is the agency that goes through and administers all these benefits. As of December, he was promoted. He is now the deputy secretary at Homeland Security, and the Homeland Security secretary himself, Jay Johnson, in his first big public speech earlier this month, said that he's putting Mayorkas in charge of overseeing this, any broader, basically overseeing the preparations for a broader legalization for the 11 million. So, you know, he definitely knows the highs and lows of the DACA program probably better than anybody else. And so he should be able to get that done and at least take care of some of those problems if there's the political will to do it. You know, the big thing is if you make every single person going for legalization have to go through an in-person interview, the process is more expensive, the process takes a lot longer, and fewer people are going to get approved. And the question is, does the Obama administration, do they actually want that sort of scrutiny? Do they want that sort of long, drawn-out process that might actually cause some people who don't deserve this to get kicked out of the program? Or would they prefer just to push people through as quickly as possible? We've seen with the Clinton administration some very big, notorious instances where they did push people through as quickly as possible and ended up approving people who had no business getting approved. So when you push people through these processes quickly, you end up not weeding out those you might want to weed out.
Mm-hmm. All right, one final thing before I let you run. I saw your story on banks now having the ability to do business with legal marijuana growers. There was some kind of problem with that, right?
You mean initially what they were worried about? Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, banks were basically worried about taking money. These are all cash businesses, generally, and all cash businesses, you worry about those just because it's really easy to be a money laundering institution. And banks, of course, have certain reporting obligations under federal law to report certain activities when they see them. And so they were very reluctant to get involved with marijuana businesses because they have all the trademarks of businesses they should be worried about dealing with. The Obama administration, and Obama didn't have to do this. This is sort of, you know, this is not the administration taking a neutral view on states and marijuana. This decision, this move to the Treasury Department and Justice Department issued a guidance memo saying, hey, you can go ahead and do this. We won't go after you, banks, as long as you still take care not to get involved with gangs and money laundering. That's a proactive move. That's the Obama administration actually enabling these businesses in places like Colorado and Washington and all the states that have medical marijuana. That'll be controversial, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because it's not just President Obama saying, well, we think this should still be illegal, but states have moved ahead. This is him going ahead and actually enabling those states.
I got you. All right, Stephen, as always, thanks for your help. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, Andy.
Stephen Dynan, Washington Times political editor. 1254, 1260 WRC, Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times.